We're holding on the last line of Tzaddik Daled Omer Beis, continuing on this topic about meat, about meat and Jewish sellers and Goyish sellers and so forth. So the Gemara says, "Ahu Tabcha the Omer of the Chavre." There was a butcher who said to another butcher, a fellow Yid, "You have a spices." They hadn't been getting along apparently. So the first one says to the second one, "You have a spices minoi. You know what? If you had been in good terms with me, wouldn't I have given you some of the good fat meat of an ox that I prepared yesterday?" So the other guy answers that. And what do you mean? I didn't get. Achim is shufri shufri. I got the best quality meat yesterday. Amalei menalach. So the first one says, "Well, where'd you get that from?" Amalei. So the second one says, "The zaman plenty over gechav mesafali, because plenty the goy bought from you, and then he gave some of it to me. So I got. So you're telling me if I'd been on good terms with you, I would have gotten. I got anyway, and you can't do anything about it." So the first one says, "Trei Avdi, you should know, I actually shechted two animals yesterday. That one that I sold to the guy was actually Trefa. So you're telling me you bought from him then? That means you ate Trefa meat." Now, we talked about yesterday about the whole point about Mokum Shem Machrizin and Mokum Shem Machrizin. We said there are places where when there was a Trefa that day, there was supposed to be an announcement made in town saying there was a Trefa, so everybody knows not to buy from a goy. Now, in this case, no such announcement had been made. So Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe says, so because of this fool who did improperly, that sold a trefa without making the announcement, and this was one of those places, Makom Shemachrizin, Onu Nesem Kol Macholim. Should we therefore ask all of the butcher shops and say that because of that you can't buy from a goy? What if he sold to this one the same thing he sold maybe to other ones? No, we don't have to. Most of the shochtim and butchers and people who supply meat are Jews, and most of it is kosher meat. So therefore, Rebbe says there's really no reason to be concerned about. And in the future also, maybe, but at least today, we're not going to say, for example, that all the other butcher shops you shouldn't buy from, and what if he sold him one trefa? Maybe he also sold other ones, or maybe other shochtim have done the same thing. No, most of it is good, and therefore we don't have an issue. Now that's according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban actually gives a different point, that a makolin is more like is not specifically the shochtim. The makolin are the butcher shops. So in other words, there are shochtim, then they sell to the butcher shops, and then in turn they sell to others. So Rebbe is saying you're not going to say that all the meat that goyim bought from the makolin might be trefa. So no, it's not a problem. Just because this guy should be concerned that all the other makolin in town, all the other butcher shops in town might have trefa meat in them, then they're all owned by Jews. No, we're not going to be concerned about that. Okay, so the Gemara points out Rebbe Letaime. Rebbe in that regard is going according to his shita. The Amar Makodim Tabchi Yisrael, who said that, he says exactly that. When you have the butcher shops, even if the butcher shops, now according to Rashi, we're talking about that the butcher shops may belong to Goyim. According to the Ramban, we may be talking about that they belong to Jews. Anyway, Makolin, the Tabchi Yisrael. So when you have Makolin in town and the Tabchi Yisrael, and you have Jewish shochtim who are supplying them with meat, then Bosri, Rebbe holds Bosra Nimsabi Aber Gechavim Mutter. Then if you have meat in this town that's found in the hand of a goy, then it would be mutter. Because even though, as we talked about yesterday, conceivably you might have a goy himself might have butchered an animal, we're not going to be concerned about trefas either, which are also a minority. And Rashi says, actually, if there was a trefa, he wouldn't. Even if there had been a trefa, then a yid, the shochet, wouldn't be selling it to be sold publicly in the makolin. Rather, he would sell it privately. So most of the time, most of the meat that's sold in the makolim in these butcher shops is kosher. Now there are Rishonim who point out that Ashba, the Ritva point out that yeah, if it's not in the makolim, if it's in the goy's house, for example, then you have more reason to be concerned that he himself may have shechted it or something like that. But we learned before we had the whole matter as far as selling a thigh to a goy, and then there's the concern that whether he might sell it to a yid or not. We distinguish between whether it's whole or whether it's cut, and we said that even when it's that when it's whole, he might be able to sell it to a yid, and a yid might actually be able to buy it from him. So the Rashba actually says that no, what mean is the other way around. If it's not in the makolin, then yeah, then most of the meat in town is supplied by Jews, so therefore it would be fine. If you buy in the makolin, then you have a different issue. Then you have an issue called kavua, which we're going to talk about later on. Namely that namely we have a rule in halacha when something is in its. When something is in its original place, then even if the preponderance, even if you have a roiv against it, you still consider kemetz al metz, you still consider it 50-50, and therefore the Rashba says that would apply over here. So according to that way of looking at it, when we say basar nimtzav yad over to chavim mutter, according to Rashi, it means when you find it in a goyish butcher shop where the meat was supplied by Jews, and according to the Rashba, it would be the other way around when it's a private goy who has the meat, where would he have gotten it from a Jew as opposed to in his butcher shop? So in any case, we see that Rebbe is saying that just because there was some fool who didn't make the announcement when he was supposed to, when he sold the trefa to a goy, we don't have to be concerned about that, therefore in the future we should have to change our rules as far as where we can and can't buy meat, not necessarily. Now, are we talking about, again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, we're talking about Mokum Shemachrizim, so we're talking about then, so again, as long as no announcement has been made, then you're allowed to buy from a goyish butcher shop. Again, according to the Rashba, who has a whole different understanding of it, he says that no, we're talking about there's no particular minute, sometimes there'll be Machriz, sometimes not, so then we go back to the fact that most of the suppliers of meat are Jews, and therefore it's allowed. Okay, so the Gemara says Ikadamni. Now that's all one version of what Rebbe's point was. So according to this first version, then Rebbe is saying that the guy did it improperly. Yes, he sold a trefa. We're taking him at his word that he sold a trefa, but nevertheless, he hadn't. Just because he didn't follow the rules, doesn't mean therefore that we should have a problem in the future. Ikadamri Omar Rebbe, but then there's a whole other version that Rebbe says, a different version where Rebbe says it's not a matter of whether of that we believe him in the first place that he actually sold it today. So, are we going to say just because this shota he said something which is when he said a lie in order to make the other guy feel bad? What happened? These two people were not getting along. Which we have a story started. So when Reuven says to Shimon, you know what, you thought you got the best meat, but you actually bought trefa from the goy. Not necessarily is that the truth. Reuven may be saying that in order to make Shimon feel bad. And in fact Shimon did buy some of the kosher meat that Reuven had sold to everybody else. And in this case, he had sold to a goy and then resold to the yid. So just because of that, so according to the second version, Rebbe says, on a nether call makolim, because of that, are we going to ask for all the butcher shops? Just because this guy, in other words, in the first version, we're accepting that the first sheikhet that Reuven told the truth. And then the only thing is we can talk about, but he didn't follow the usual rules. That's not a reason to change the halach. In the second version, we're saying that we don't even have to believe that he told the truth. He may have stopped in lying in order to make the other guy feel bad. Well, the Gemara says, "Time of days, kabli, kabbalot, so uruv chavri." Well, then the implication is specifically because he wanted to make the other guy feel bad. Holav hachi also. It seems to imply that if not for that, it actually would be also to buy from the other macholin, because again, it might in fact be today for me. The question is, "V'hatanya Rebbe omer macholin v'tabchi Yisrael." But didn't we just learn that Rebbe says that if the butcher shops and that if the butcher shops in the city, meat stores, but the Tabchi Yisrael, but the shochtim who provide the meat are Jews, And again, according to Rashi, what we mean is that the stores are owned by Goyim, but the suppliers are Jews, according to the Rashi. But we're talking about that they're all owned by Jews. Then meat that's found in the hand of a Goy is mutter. So now, in the second version, you're saying only because we have reason to assume that the first Yid said to the second one something, a lie, in order to make him feel bad, then we don't have to, then we can dismiss what he says. In other words, it seems to imply that otherwise we would have to take that into consideration. Well, why? If Rebbe is saying that you're allowed to buy from them. And the answer is, Shani Hocha di Ischazik Isura. The difference is, because here you do have a chazaka, that there was a tshefa in the, that there was a tshefa in the butcher shop, and now maybe you have a, and then you see, you sold it to a goy without following the usual rules. So therefore, he might have sold it to many different goyim, and then now you have a problem, and you can't necessarily trust anymore that, you can buy meat that was supplied by this guy where it might be tshefa. The Rashba discusses there may be an issue of kavua over here. We know there's kavua, and as we're going to say soon, the kol kavua kmetz al metz a dummy. When you have something that's fixed in place, then again, we consider it, even though statistically it would be like one out of 100, nevertheless, halacha tells us to consider as though it's 50-50. And then the Litva argues that, and there's quite a bit of discussion about what the dinim are over here, and is there an actual difference in din between the two versions, or is it just two different versions of what Rebbe said, but the actual halacha would be the same either way. So in any case, so we see that there are times, depending on the circumstances, when you are allowed to buy meat from goyim. So then that rounds out what we discussed yesterday about that one. But now we have a different opinion on that subject. Omar Rav. So Rav says, "Bosser kibbutzim is alam in ayin also." Rav says that meat. And you're not even talking about butcher shops or whatever. Even you just have meat on the table or something. And if you left it for a while without seeing it, also, then it would be also because now you have the concern is that the concern is that birds or animals or whatever might have taken it and instead put a piece of non-kosher meat over there. You actually have a Gemara in Bava Metzia that's relevant about this as well. The Gemara tells over there in connection with the halachas of Hashavas Aveda that one time a bird of prey snatched some meat from one place and dropped it off someplace else. So the Gemara deals with it over there as far as the dinim of Hashavas Aveda. Are you required to return it? Or would you say that the original owner was Miyash? Because realistically, he doesn't think he's going to get it back from a bird of prey. But then the Gemara also brings this point of Bostosh and Nisalim and Ayin. And the answer is there it wasn't Nisalim because he watched it the whole time. But here we're talking about that he didn't watch it the whole time. So it might have been exchanged for Nevela. Tosfos points out, even in a city where it's mostly Jewish butchers, the fact is that the rest of the here we're talking once we're talking about birds of prey over here, they don't have to take from that city; they could take from anywhere. So they could easily get an avela from someplace else, and then take the original piece and replace it with this one. Hagoy Zabach actually adds the words in Tosfos after the Behema Shlema that this would apply even to a complete animal, not just to a piece of meat. Tosfos also points out, based on, we're going to continue in the Gemara, at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to have an example of that, where we're going to have an example of such a thing, of something being interchanged, but ultimately Tosfos says it's a chumra ba'alma, it's a chumra that Rav holds because of that story later on. So then we showed him talk about, well, maybe that would only apply, where you have ravens or other creatures like that. Now, is there also the concern that a goy might have exchanged it? So that we'll talk about soon. So in any case, you have this consideration that Rav says that if meat has not been visible the whole time by a yid, then it's also to eat. How we deal with that, with meat that's sold in stores, and how we deal with that in a work refrigerator and all. We'll talk about that later on. Okay, so the Gemara says, basically, though, I have a contradiction. We just said before, Rebbe Omer Makolin B'Tampri Yisrael, we said that when you have the butcher shops and you have Jewish shochtin, Bosa Nimtzeh B'Yad Ovi Tuchav and Mutter, then you have meat in the hand of a goy, then it's Mutter. Now, it's Shinis Alam and Ayin, because it was in the goy's, from when the goy bought it and brought it to his store, then it's been out of Jewish sight, and nevertheless, we're not concerned that he swapped it. And the answer is nimtzavim. You call them shiny. It's different when it's found in the hand of a goy. Now, again, you have given that most of the meat supply in town comes from Jewish butchers. You only have the minority, maybe, that goyim who shecht for themselves. So we have strong reason to believe that this meat came from one of the kosher butchers, and that it's not, and that's not Tshrefa, because again, if it was a Tshrefa, they should have had to make an announcement, or however they work things exactly. Now again, you can't necessarily apply that kind of din nowadays. Of course, nowadays meat can be brought in from all over, but we're talking about then when you're in a small town, and there really isn't any other supply other than, for the most part, other than what Jews supply them. So you have that, so then you don't have a concern. So then we're not talking about a concern of ravens or other predators or whatever, taking the meat and then swapping it out. So the only concern would be the goy. And where else would the goy get meat from? Necessarily he's getting it from his Jewish suppliers. Again, you have the discussion that we said before among Rishonim. Would the same thing apply if you have it privately by him in the house or the other way around?
What do you mean in a small town where there is no
town where you have the only suppliers or almost the only suppliers of meat are Jewish butchers? That's what we're talking about the whole time. We're talking about a town like that. In other words, in such a town, conceivably, yes, you could have a goy butchers an animal himself, but it's not very likely. Most people, when they need an animal, most people in that town, when they need meat, they go to the Jewish shechtim and they shecht them, and then they shecht them an animal. So now most of the meat supply in this town is kosher. The only concern is, A, you have, there can be a goy decided to kill an animal himself, but that's not very common. And two, you may have a tshrefa, and as far as a tshrefa, then you have what we said before. First of all, those are less common, and second of all, you have this whole business that we said before as far as making announcements and all that.
That's when you have a slaughterhouse that's mainly Jewish you're talking about?
Yeah. So let's say, for example, think of like nowadays, for example, let's say a town like Postville, for example. Let's say a town like Postville, Iowa. So nowadays you can't really have that. The fact is the meat that you find in the grocery stores over there, of course, can come from all over because, of course, they ship in from all over the country. But imagine you had a Postville 1,000 years ago. Realistically, they don't transport meat from point A to point B. All the meat in town comes from the local schlachters. Well, then that would be an example like this. And now you have the local schlachters is run by Jews. And they supply meat to the goyish they supply meat to the goyish stores in town. So let's say that would be the kind of case that we're talking about over here. Okay.
Well, they could still kill the meat for the goyim and shech the meat for the yidden. And how would you make the difference?
What we're saying is, in general, they wouldn't. In general, in a town like that, they would shecht regardless. They were going to shecht. And so the only concern is sometimes from the meat is going to be not kosher because sometimes you have a trefa, but trefas are relatively uncommon. So, and again, as we talked about yesterday and as we started talking about today, there are anyway places where they would actually make a public announcement on a day like that. They would announce, like we learned yesterday, there's meat available for the army, which was a coded way of saying that there's non-kosher meat available today because there was a trefa. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. So again, I mean, this particular din of being able to buy meat from a goy is really barely applicable nowadays because nowadays with supply chains that run all over the country and even all over the world, then you really don't have that kind of thing where you can say that most of the meat supply in a given town comes from local production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, going on. So again, so Rav is saying Bosish and Asalam and Ayin Osir, but so far the Gemara is saying that Rav would agree that doesn't apply when you find it in the hands of a goy, because again, in a small town like that, where would he have gotten the meat from? He must have gotten it from Jewish shechting, as opposed to where you left it on the table and then you have a place where there are ravens or whatever. Then it might have been swapped out. The Ritva points out. I mean, so you could have both. It could have been in the hands of the goy, and during that time, then a raven swapped it out. So he says that Rav is only concerned only when we know for sure that Bosish and Isalam that it was actually hidden. To be concerned, maybe it was hidden, and maybe during that time, ravens swapped it. Then there's no shash about that. Then the Baal HaMor has a whole different explanation, but the Baal HaMor says that Rav's din about Bosan Shem Salam and Ayin is not when you're talking about, now Rashi had said even if you left it on the table. The Baal HaMor says no, if it's on the table, you're not going to have a problem with that. No, he says you're talking about, let's say you have a piece of meat lying by the side of the road. So that's the kind of thing. Usually when a person has a nevela, they usually throw it by the side of the road. It ends up in the garbage. So then you have to be concerned that the nevela may have actually come from someplace else. But if you find it, And therefore, so you don't know if it's a nevela or it might be kosher meat that somebody dropped. But if you find it in somebody's hand, says the Baal HaMor, doesn't matter, yid or goy, according to Rab, there would not be a problem. Because they would keep an eye on it, precisely because, maybe attack it precisely because ravens and other things like that, they would attack it precisely, they would keep an eye on it until they actually cooked it. So the Gemara says, Toshma, fine, let's try to bring another proof. You're telling me then that Rav is saying that there are times when if meat is hidden from the eye, then you can't eat it. So Toshma, we learn in a Mishnah, Teisha Chanuyas, Kulan Merchus Sauchfilter, if you have 10 butcher shops, 9 butcher shops in town, Kulan Merchus Sauchfilter, all of which sell kosher meat, the Achas Mecheres Psar Nevela, and one of them sells Nevela meat, the lokach me'achas mehen. So now you bought meat from one of the stores that any again the ezman lokach, and you don't remember which one you bought it from. Sekei also. Then misafik that meat is also to eat. Aye, it's a 90% chance that it was kosher. But nevertheless, this is where we have the concept of kavua that was saying that whenever you have something kavua, you have something fixed in place, then we have the Gemara elsewhere learns from Pesukim that kol kavua k'metzal metzadami, that we consider that we, even though statistically it would be 9-1, halacha tells us we have to consider it 50-50, and therefore there's an equal chance that it's from the non-kosher store and from the kosher ones, and therefore you would not allow it to be. Therefore, you would not be allowed to eat it. So, in other words, Tosfos points out, you know that there's a plate, there's something that's also over here, and it's fixed in place. The store is in place, and therefore, you have to then you apply the rule of kavua. So, therefore, some misafik it's also because of that din of kavua. However, over nimsa, however, if you find some meat in such a town, and you don't know which one of the stores it came from, then so now it's not. So now, Tosfos points out if you knew how it came from the store, if you knew who bought it in the store, then what do you mean? Then you have the suffix claim in the store. No, what we're talking about, in other words, so what we're talking about is, let's say you find the meat over there and you don't know which store it came from. So then, halachah arrive. So then, the din is you're allowed to follow the majority because there 90% of the stores in town are kosher. And therefore, you can follow the ordinary rules of Roiv and say that you can assume that it's kosher. So now, Tosfos which brings up the point: is this a makom shemachrizin? Is this a makom shein machrizin? Etc. In any case, the point is that we have this basic din that sometimes we say that you can follow the majority. But now, according to Rab, how could you? Don't you still have that concern about a raven having taken the meat and swapped it out or something? Tosfos, by the way, does mention in this connection that the Gemara is going to explain further that there is a takana. In fact, when ein machrizin, to not buy from a goy lachatzila, even though as we're saying now, you have a 90% chance that it's fine, because the vast majority of animals are not tereifa, but nevertheless, the chachamim would have made a takana not to do that. But in any case, the Mishnah is saying there that you could follow the roiv. According to Rav, how could you do that? And the answer is what we're talking about is when you found it in the hands of a goy. So you're right. If you found it unattended, then you have to be concerned that a raven might have taken it. But when you find it in the hands of a goy, then you don't need to. Again, you have the Baal HaMor's point is that because you didn't find it in the street, and therefore it's unlikely to be a nevela that a raven took. If it's in the hands of a goy, it means that he kept an eye on it the whole time, precisely because he doesn't want any kind of predators taking it, and therefore it won't have been, and therefore he'll keep an eye on it until it's actually cooked. And meanwhile, you're buying it from him raw, so therefore it means he's been keeping an eye on it. So still no contradiction on Rav. Fine, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. Another Mishnah says Motzah Bobosser. So, if you find in a city where you have Jews and Goyim living there, so you have the Mishnah there talks about it's in Masechta Machshirin. You have the Masechta Machshirin. You have Dinim over there about the Masechta Machshirin is basically about which liquids are Machshir LeKabel Tumah and which are not. So in the course of that, at one point it mentions a case where you have different liquids mixed together, and when we take into consideration roiv and when we do not. So that leads the Mishnah over there into a bit of a digression about different other cases of things that are mixed together, things where you have a mixture. So one of them is this din, where you have a number of dinim over there about a city where some Jews and some goyim live, and you have a number of dinim about what dinim apply in such a city, when you apply roiv and when not. So Mishnah says, Motzah Bobosser, if you find meat in such a city, If the meat is war, then you can follow the majority of the shochtim, of the suppliers of meat. Meaning again, since you're talking about if in this town most of the suppliers of meat are Jews, then you're allowed to eat this meat that you found. If the meat is cooked, then you have to take into consideration matters of treifus that they may have cooked it with. Then you have to follow the majority of people in town who eat meat. Once it's cooked, it didn't come directly from the butchers. So even if most of the butchers and suppliers are Jews, a goy might have cooked it. And if nothing else, you have to be concerned about bishulakum. So then you have that. So now
the question is, according to Rav, what do you mean? It's Bosishinus Alam and Ayan. So how do you mean? How does it work?
How would you be allowed to eat this meat? If it's raw, or even if it's cooked, if you say that most of the people in town who eat meat are Jews, you have Bosishinus Alam and Ayan. You're going to say that this Mishnah is also talking about where you actually found the meat in the hand of a goy. So what do you mean, Mavushal, when the Mishnah says, Mavushal, what do you mean when it says that if it's cooked, then you follow the majority of people who eat meat? The next thing, what do you mean? We'd have to actually see. If it's a goy has the meat, then he's probably the one who cooked it, and then it would be also because bishalakum, the idi surel nakitlay, or whether a Jew is holding it, and then we would assume that the Jew cooked it, and it would be cautious. So what do you mean you go according to the statistical majority? So obviously we have to be talking about a case where you don't have it. It's not right now in the hand of a goy or a yid. Well then, isn't it basar shenis alam and ayin? And the answer is, the answer is that we're talking about over here, where he actually is watching it from, so in other words, evidently, we're talking about you found it on the ground, and we're saying that it's mutter, but why would it be mutter if Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin? And the answer is, the answer is you're talking about where you watched the whole time, you saw somebody carrying it, and dropped it, and now from then on, you were keeping an eye on it, and then you saw that no ravens took it. So now, therefore, so you don't have to be concerned about that. So now the only question is whether it came from one of the Jewish butcher shops, or maybe from that one Goyish butcher shop in town, and you don't need to be concerned about that, because again, then you can go according to Roiv. You could ask the person. I mean, first of all, if you ask him, he's probably going to want his meat back. But in any case, let's say he's not available to ask. The Rebbeinu Gershom and the Ritva here have a different explanation. They say you're talking about you saw it from when he bought it until he dropped it. So then you actually see which store it came from. However, Achronim point out on that, but Ashash points out and say then you have, as Tosfos says, then that would be considered kavur. If you know what store it came from, then if you saw him buy it from a certain store, then you would have the dinim of kavur, and then you don't go according to 50-50. So rather, we're talking about that you didn't see which store he bought it from, but you see that he dropped it and you kept an eye on it the whole time. So Rav can understand the scenario as like that, and therefore it's no contradiction on his din of Bosish and his Alam and Ayin. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Fine, let's try to bring another proof. A Mishnah tells us in Masechta Shkolim,
So now you have like this. When it comes to first the Mishnah starts talking about if you find meat in the Azara of the Beis Hamikdash and you don't know what kind of korban it came from. It could have come from an Ola and then it has to be burned on the Mizbeach, or it could have been from one of the other korbanos which are eaten, and then this meat has to be eaten. So the Mishnah starts by explaining over there that it depends whether you find it as lard, whether you find it as entire limbs, or whether you find it as slices. Because if it's a, you know, you don't cut up an ola, you don't cut up meat of an ola into slices. Why would you? You're burning it on the mizbeach anyway, and you're not supposed to cut the evarim into smaller pieces. So if you find complete limbs, then you assume that it's from an ola. If you find slices, then you assume it's from meat of a korban that they sliced in order to eat and then lost track of. But now the Mishnah continues. Nimtza begvulin. What happens if you find meat in the provinces outside the Beis Hamikdash? So then, how do we know what's what? So now again, we're talking about elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere outside the Beis Hamikdash. But again, we're talking about in places where most of the shochtim and most of the preparers of meat are Jews. Nevertheless, though, of course, you still have the potential problem that it could be nevela. So the Mishnah says, Evorim Nevelos. So if you find complete limbs, then you know it's Nevela, because Nevela, nobody is going to bother cutting it up into slices. You can't eat it anyway. So therefore they'd cut it into large limbs and then throw it into the garbage or throw it to the dogs or whatever. Chatichos Mutaris, but if you find slices of meat in such a place, then it will be Mutar, because then we can assume it came from kosher meat, because then if they took the trouble to slice it up, means that it's something that they're able to eat. Isn't it Buster Shinis Alam and Ayin? You have again according to Rav, why should that be mutter? Granted it slices, you didn't, you know, so evidently it's not Nevela, but how do you know it wasn't swapped out for Nevela? You're gonna say maybe also here we're talking about where you actually there is actually the Balam Mor has a different explanation about it. The Balam Mor explains that why is it if they find slices then you can assume it's kosher? He says because again, following his shitta before, that when it's lying in the street, then you have concern that it might have been nevela, that somebody might have thrown it away because it was nevela, or it's kosher to meat and he dropped it. So now, if you find it in limbs, there's no way that it can say that it's kosher, because nobody carries around, but if somebody's carrying around a whole limb and he drops it, he'll notice it right away. So therefore, we have very strong reason to believe that it's nevela. So it must be that if you find it sliced, it's very possible that he dropped it without realizing it, because it's smaller slices. And again, since most of the meat over here is kosher, then you can go according to the Rav. So again, according to Rav, why should this be mutter, though? Wouldn't it still be Boser Shinis Alam and Ayin? You're going to answer here also, you're talking about where you're watching the whole time. Well then, what do you mean, Evorim Nevelos? You're saying that if it's whole limbs, then you have to assume that it's Nevelos. Am I? Why should it be Nevela? You saw that you have somebody was carrying it. It wasn't also when it was in the hands of the goy. So why does it become also if you're watching the whole time, then why would Avorim be also either? And the answer is maybe who time el Rav. Look, the whole reason why we're trying to explain this is according to Rav with his shita, Bosman and Sashana Salaman Ayin, Ha Ichman Allah. Well, you should know Rav himself addressed this point and says something relevant about it. Rav Omer Mutaris Mishum Nevela. Rav says all it means when we say Mutaris, that when we say that Avorim would mean Nevela, what we mean is, in other words, that he considered Nevela also as far as Tumas Nevelas. And when he says, Rav says, when you find slices, in fact, it doesn't mean you can eat them Mishum Nevela. It means Mutaris Mishum Nevela. They're Mutar on the grounds of Nevela. But they're not going to be matame like nevela, and if a person eats them, then you don't give a malchus for eating nevela because it's only a stuffing. But it would be also because boser shenis alam and ayin. So in other words, Rav would say the Mishnah is not telling us in either case that you're allowed to eat it. Rav is saying either way it would be also to eat it. It's just in one case, it would be also as definitely Nevela, and we could even give a person Malchus for it. And in the other case, we would say it's Suffolk, and then because, fine, he bought it from a butcher shop and it's sliced, etc. But what if a raven dropped off a piece of it here? So therefore, it's Boston. So unless you were watching the whole time, then it would be also to eat. But it would be a Suffolk of Nevela. So we've defended Rav from all these Mishnayos and Braises that we brought against him. So now the Gemara says, well, Levi Omer Mutaras Achila. Levi disagrees with Rav and says that such pieces would actually be mutter to eat. So in other words, with that Mishnah and Shkolin that says Chatikos Mutaras, so you have two different opinions. Rav holds it would mean it would be also to eat either way, because it might, in one case, where it's limbs, then it's almost certainly Nevela, and where it's slices, because it might have been dropped there by a raven, whereas according to Levi, ravens we're not concerned about, and the only question is it a vorin, which then are going to be assumed to be Nevela, or is it chatichas, is it slices, where we can assume it to be kosher, and Levi will say that in that case, it's fine, and you could even eat it. Okay. Now, so we've been talking the whole time about this opinion of Rav, of Bosish and Salam and Ayin, so let's talk about where we find Rav saying such a thing. So the Gemara points out, behold the Rav, this din of Rav about Bosash and Salam and Ayin, lav the Fedush Itmar el Kloli. You should know, it wasn't said explicitly. It was actually comes only from influence. Like we learned yesterday when we had the story of Shmuel on a ferry, and we said we had a din over there where his Mishoris paid the ferryman, and Shmuel was upset with him, and we talked about do we derive from that Shmuel holds that you're not allowed to be going to das of a goy, or is there a different reason why Shmuel was upset? So here in the same way, we have something, we're gonna tell a story involving Rav, and we're going to infer from it his din of Bosash and his Alam and Ayin. Namely, did Rav have a Yosef Amaber de Ishtatis? Rav one time was sitting on the ferry going across the river Ishtatis. Because of Ahu Gavra, he saw a certain post over there in the river, the Havaka Machver Resha. This guy was washing the head of an animal in the river. So he's shechting an animal. He's rinsing it in the river. While meanwhile Rav is crossing the same river on a ferry. Nofal, and then the guy Nofal Mine, the guy dropped the head into the river. Also, so he wanted to find it. He didn't want to lose it. Also, icy Silta, so he went and got a basket to try to fish it out of the water. Shudder, he threw the basket into the water of Asik Train. Asik Train, he ended up pulling out two heads for out of the river. Omer Rav Abi Nami Hochi. So Rav asks, is that a normal thing to do, that you lose one thing and you find two? So in other words, you have to be concerned that obviously one of these heads is not the one that you dropped. And therefore, so one of them is certainly not the one you dropped. You have to be concerned that maybe the other one is also not the one you dropped. Maybe, in fact, you didn't find the one that you dropped at all, and you found two other ones. And you're talking about a river over here. The current could have easily brought it from someplace else where there are lots of goyish butchers, and therefore, how could you eat it? So you have to be concerned that maybe you don't even have the original head anymore, just two other ones. So again, it might be from Gersh Butchers, might be that a raven dropped it over there, whatever. The point is that both of them would be also misunderstood. So in other words, Tosfos points out, you know, if he had only found one, then he wouldn't ask. You would see there were no ravens around there, and you don't have to be concerned so much that maybe he lost the one, and this is a different one. Now that he found two, then you have a reaser. You have a very strong reason. Obviously, it can't be. One of them is definitely not the one he dropped. So now you really have to be concerned about Roy from the rest of the world. So therefore he declared that both of them are osir to him. So you see that Rav holds Bosash and Salam and Ayin osir because of this kind of concern. You never know where the meat might have come from. Now, a number of Rishonim point out the question that that explains, for example, a case like this. It's by a river over here. It's out in the outdoors. There might be ravens or whatever, but when it was on a table, Rashi had said on Amar Aleph that appointed Rav Bosash and Salam and Ayin is also, even if it's on the table, what makes us say there should be any problem over there? and they talk about that, and they talk about that, you know, like this, Midoraisa, when you're talking about, when you're talking, Midoraisa, we have like this, we're going to talk later, we're going to talk further along a sefta about the dinim of Bittul, about Bittul Beroiv and Bittul Beshishim and all that kind of stuff. Now, Midoraisa, in general, you say things are bottle in Roiv. If you have two things that are mutter and one that's osir, then Midoraisa, we would say that's good enough. Only Midorabanan here, we're going to have later on in our parak, we're going to talk about what you need shishim, or sometimes you need even more than that, but Midoraisa, you'll need it one and two. And then the Shach explains that when you have dover yavish, when you have dry things that are not intermingled, it's just you have two things that are sitting over there, one next to the other, and you just don't know which is which, then the Shach learns that even if it's one to one, both of them would be mutter. So now, if Rav is telling him that both of them are osir, based on what the Shach is saying, he should say both of them are mutter. So now it must be that we're talking about that there's this concern about ravens, and therefore, so it would be not only in a case where it's outdoors over here, but also when it's on its table. And they go on and they discuss various details in that regard. Okay, so we can so we can deduce from the story that Rab holds Bosser Shinas Alam and Ayanos. However, Amri le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi le Rav, but Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who were Rav's Talmidim, asked him, what do you mean you asked both of them? The Isura Shechi, the Hetero Boy Shechi, are you telling me that only heads of animals that are also, that come from Goyisha, butchers or whatever, are more common, and ones of Hetero are not? After all, this is in a city where it's mostly Jewish butchers, so then in that case, it's more likely both of them are Hetero. Amalahusa, Rav answers, the Isur of Shechi Tvei. The fact is, if you consider just this town, then you're right. Most of them are, then most of them are Mutter. But when you consider the rest of the world, and again, this is a river we're talking about over here. It came here by the current. So now, in fact, ones of Isur are more prevalent because yeah, they have the whole rest of the world, or at least the whole catchment basin of this river. Where it could have come from any of them, including from cities that are mostly, if not completely goyim. Rav is saying that you have to be concerned that it could have come from someplace further away. So the Kahana and Ravasi held that the roiv, the local roiv, outweighs that, and Rav tells them no, you have to consider the more widespread roiv as well. Then there's also Achronim will point out that Tiferes Yaakov and Chosin Yeshuas point out that Rav says, yeah, but you also have, there's also a consideration, what ends up in the river, more likely the Velas or Terephis. So the kosher ones are not going to throw in the river, so therefore we have a more concern that you find something in the river, never mind other towns, never mind it might have come in the current from other towns, even if it came from this town, it's more likely that it's the Velas or Terephis. Whereas Rav Kahana and Rav Asi would hold that after all, kosher animals are much more common than non-kosher ones, and therefore we have more reason to say that it should be mutter. So again, we can infer from this story that Rab holds Bosser Shinas Alam and Ayin also. So the Gemara asks again, like we asked yesterday, the Ima Klolamai, so what if we're learning from the Klal? Again, whenever we say that we learned something from a Klal, that seems to imply that there's a reason why maybe that wasn't the correct inference. Well, why? It seems to be a very valid inference that Rab holds that Bosser Shinas Alam and Ayin also. And the answer is, Parvosa de Ugachavim Havori, because the answer is that this was a port. This is a river port where it's mostly where there are more goyim around than Jews, because their people come from all over the place in boats, and they bring with them their trade for meat. So that would be so fine. In the city itself, you have mostly Jewish butchers, but here you have in this port, it's highly likely that meat that's found over here comes from non-kosher sources because it came on one of the boats and fell overboard or something like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Rav would hold in a place where you don't have that consideration that you should have that issue. So Rav may well hold that Bosach and Islam and Ayin also, but maybe you can't derive it so clearly from this story. Teda, in fact, you can see that it's a place where there were mostly, there were a lot of goyim around, a port like this where goyish sailors come from all over. Dekamalahu, because we see that Rav answers of Kahana and Ravasi, the Isura Shechi Tvei, the ones of Isur are more prevalent. If Rav held that Bosser Shinas Alam and Ayin, then they wouldn't even be asking the question, and he wouldn't have to tell them this point of the Isura Shechi Tvei. But now we see it is, in fact, a place where there were mostly Goyim. In fact, the Binyan Siyan points out an interesting point. He says, you know, at the top of the Omud, when we told the story, Rav had said to the guy, Avni Nami Hochi, is this how people do? You drop one thing and you find two? Now he says, based on what we're saying now, the Gemara can be that statement could have been a statement, not a question. Avni Nami Hochi, you know what? Other people do that kind of thing also. They drop heads of animals, and now you happen to find a couple of them. So you see that so Rav doesn't necessarily hold across the board that Bosish and Asalam and Ayin, maybe he holds in a place like that where you have many Goyim around, then you have to be concerned that it fell from one of them, and then you also have the concern about ravens, et cetera. But maybe if it was in a place where mostly Jews, then maybe in fact Rav would not, and most of the meat supply comes from Jews, then maybe in fact Rav would not have a problem with it. Okay. Nevertheless, though, we do see that Rav holds Bosish and Salam and Ayin, even if we can't clearly infer it from this story, we still assume that Rav holds that opinion. So the question is, Ella Rav hates the Ochel Bisra. Well, then how does Rav eat meat in general? Isn't there the concern all the time that it might have been out of sight for a while? The Rashba explains that, what you're going to have, the only way would be if he goes and buys it personally from the butcher store, or from the butcher shop, and hangs it up in a way where no birds or no shrotim can get to it. And is it likely that Rav ate meat only when he did like that? And you have different other points that Ahernim bring up of what do you mean? He can rely on the kosher of butchers. So you have a different point over here at the beginning of the Sylvia. Binyan Siyan explains, of course, Rav could eat meat because if Rav said the Fadish, that Bosrish and Salam and Ayin also, so then the butchers know that Rav holds that way and they're going to be careful to make sure it's not a Salam and Ayin. But now that we're saying Rav didn't say it explicitly, so now we can only infer it from this story, then now he can't necessarily rely on the butchers. They don't know that he holds that way, and then it might be Nisalam Min Ayin, and therefore, how could he eat and be able to rely on them, that it was always in sight when they don't know when they don't know that he holds that's required. And the answer is b'shaike, because he would only eat meat when it was right then and there. The like Alam Einamine, where he didn't keep his eyes off it. He watched them shech the animal, and then he would immediately buy the meat. Now, Tosfos points out, we can't derive from this either that definitely he holds Bosrish and Asalam and Ayin also, because it may have been that Rav lived in a place where most of the Shoftim were Goyim. So then for sure we can go according to, if we went according to Roy, we'd have to ask for everything. So the only way would be if Rav personally watches from the Shechting until he actually takes the meat, and then he personally keeps an eye on it. Ibori's famous. Another answer, you could say, but Saira, Vachasima, Vachasuma, you could talk about where he would buy the meat, where it was tied up in a bundle and sealed with a seal. So now there's no concern that ravens will have swapped it out. So the Inami, the Simona, or another possibility, he would make a simon on it. He would make a simon where, therefore, it would be noticeable if it was a different piece now. As we have an example where Rabba Bar Abuna, when he would cut meat in his household into triangles. So this way, Rashi explains, this way he has a simon that people from the household wouldn't take it. He'd be able to recognize them because then all the pieces are in triangles. Now, this is Rashi says over here, Rashi in Bava Metzia, where again it talks about a little bit about this matter of Bosrish and Asalam and Ayin. The Gemara, Rashi over there explains differently that Rabba Bar Avuna, when he was sending a package of meat to his house for the Goy, then he would cut the meat into triangles so that this way they would recognize, and this way we would know the Goy didn't swap it out on the way. So there's discussion about to what extent how good such a simon will be, but in a case we're saying that such a simon will work. Now, as a practical matter, so first of all, as far as the actual halacha, as far as Bosrish and Asalam and Ayin, so you actually have, first of all, you have a machlokas who's showing him who the halacha is like. Here before we said that Rebbe didn't seem to have a problem with it. He allowed you to buy meat from a goy. We said that Levi held that's also mutter. And on the other hand, we're saying that Rav, and on the other hand, we're saying that Rav says it's also. So who is the actual halacha like? So you actually have a machlok, because we're showing him on that point who the halacha is like as far as Bosishan is Alam and Ayin. So you have different Rishonim argue on that point. So if you say Bosish and Asalam and Ayin is mutter, then a lot of times you don't have a problem. But if you say that Bosish and Asalam and Ayin is also, especially nowadays, again, where there is a preponderance of non-kosher meat, then you do have an issue. Practical things that come out of that, for example, so as far as buying meat from a goyish butcher shop, no question, and you really can't do that. You really can't do that nowadays, especially that the meat can come from many different places. But there are dinim over here. We're mentioning about sending meat to a goy, so you have considerations over here whether the goy might swap it out. And you have a relevant thing over here, where here the Gemara seems to be saying that one seal is enough, whereas a different Gemara says you actually need a double seal. So there's different opinions among Rishonim. Is it a difference between things that are also min HaTorah, like non-kosher meat, versus things that are only also Drabanan? Is it things where a goy is more likely to swap it out? Is it things where it's a difference between the Isser is in the actual thing itself versus a Taruvus? And then you also have another consideration is also, there are other considerations include, is the goy going to benefit from swapping it out? When you have, for example, you have something more expensive and he could replace it with something cheaper, then you might have that concern, as opposed to, for example, if it's all basically the same quality, then there might not be such a concern. There's also a distinction that's made is, are you going to see the seal again? Are we talking about that you're sending it one way, you're sending a package from point A to point B, and you're not going to be there later on at point B to see it? Versus where you yourself are going to be there, and you'll recognize if the seal has been tampered with. So you have different opinions among Rishonim about details with all those kinds of things. So first of all, now Rav holds the halacha is like that. Now Rav holds the halacha is not like Rav. Tosfos also on the other hand, the Rambam says the halacha is like Rav. So then you have, as far as these matters of selling or of sending it with a goy, so again, you have different opinions, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, etc., about which kinds of things do you need seals, and are you need double seals, and which one do you not. Again, you also have the distinction, Tosfos makes a distinction between whether you're going to see it again, versus if you're not going to see it again, then you need a double seal. So you have a bunch of different dinim like that. That Amar brings a different point that maybe it's only when you have a yid who's suspect of swapping things out, then you have to be more concerned, and then you need double seals as opposed to a goy. Then you may only need one seal. And he says, v'dievan, you can rely on that. And again, you have also this consideration of whether he's nana in it, etc. Whether it's another point is when it's in a public place and he might be concerned about being caught. And you have a variety of different dinim. So in practice, for example, let's say you buy something from a restaurant and you buy something from a restaurant and they deliver it. So the goyish delivery guy delivers it. So many times we say there's no problem really that you might swap it, and therefore one seal is enough. So for example, let's say you buy a pizza. They seal it with tape, and you're not so concerned that the goy may undo the tape and put in a different pizza or whatever. You have considerations in hospitals and things like that. You have considerations when you have a goy working in your house. And then you have, for example, let's say when you have a refrigerator, let's say in an office. So you bring your food and then you put it in the refrigerator. So that would be one of those examples where you need a single seal. So you need to put it in a container with a cover, and then put a piece of tape on there and put your signature on it or something. That'll count as a single seal, and we're not concerned then that somebody's going to go and swap it out. But these are kinds of things. These are practical things that a person needs to be concerned about. Again, following the opinion of the Rambam in particular, who paskins like Rav that Bosish and Asalam and Ayin also. Again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the whole thing would be a non-issue because according to them, the halacha is not like Rav anyway. Okay. So, getting back to the Gemara now, talking more about this topic, the Gemara says here's another case also involving Rav and also involving Bosish and Asalam and Ayin. The Gemara says, Rav have ka'ozel abeir of Hanan chasne. One time, Rav was traveling to the house of his son-in-law of Hanan. And again, he had to cross a river to get there.
Rav, when he came to the riverbank, he saw the ferry was coming in his direction, so he'll be able to catch the ferry very quickly. Omar, so Rav says, oh, Mabra ka'osi la'apai, the ferry is coming in my direction, exactly when I need it. Yom tov al-gav, that means that today is going to be a good day in the place where I'm staying overnight. Now, how is that not nichush? We'll talk about soon in the Gemara. So he took the ferry, went across. Also, Koma Baba. So now, Rav is standing by the door of his daughter and son-in-law. Oydik Biza Dadasha, and he happened to know he was looking through a crack in the window, a crack in the door. Chazi Chavis at Italia, he saw an animal, he saw a whole animal that was a butchered animal that was hanging up over there. Taraf Ababa, so now he knocked on the door. Everybody in the house came out to greet him. Oh, Shver is here, Zevi is here, Rav is here, also Tab Pinami, and also the butchers and the cooks who are busy preparing the food, also they all came out to greet Rav. So now nobody's watching the meat. Loy Alim Rav Ainemine, so Rav did not take his eyes off it, and kept his eye on it the entire time. Omalahu, he tells them, Ichu Hashta, you know what, now if I had been relying all this time on your watching things, and I had to rely on that, Safisu Lahui Surah, then you would have given me Safisu Lahui Surah, the Bnei Bras, and you would have ended up giving my grandchildren, my daughter's sons, you would have given them something that's also, because Basu Chenis Alam and Ayin. So in other words, so like this, you see, So here you left the meat unsupervised. A moment, maybe it could have been swapped out. So you can't do that. Yeah. So I had to keep it. I'm glad I kept my eye on it the whole time. Now he was a Gir, where Tosfos points out that this was a town where there were many Goyish butchers, and therefore Rav could not rely on everything we were talking about before, that most of the meat supply in town is kosher, and therefore he has to literally, as much as everybody's coming and greeting him and welcoming him and everything, he has to pay attention and watch that meat until everybody is back in the house and they can take over watching again. Well, the Gemara says, Loy ocha Rav mahu bisra. In the event, Rav did not end up eating from that meat. Well, the question is, my timer. Well, why not? Imishum yalumi, are you saying because it was hidden from the eye, because Bosser Shem Salam and Ayin, holy yelin. In the event, it wasn't hidden because Rav was watching it the whole time. Elodim not. So are you going to say that it's because Rav had used Nichush, that Rav had said, the ship is coming, the boat is coming, so it must be I'm going to have a good day, and now he realized to himself, wait a minute, I was over on the Isser of Loisa Nachashu, that you're not allowed to make for yourself omens like that, good luck omens, and therefore now, because of that, he was machmir on himself, that now I'm not going to eat the meat. Well, is that really a problem? Doesn't Rav himself say, Kol Nachash, She'enek Eliezer Ebed Avraham, Rav himself says that any Nachash, which is not like Eliezer Eved Avraham, and like Yonis and Ben-Shol, is not a Nachash. Now, what does Rav mean by that? So first of all, Eliezer Eved Avraham, you have the whole thing when he goes to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he says the girl who's going to come and give me to drink, offer me to drink, and give all my camels water to drink, is the one that's destined for Yitzchak. And now Rashi explains. He's saying basically, if she gives me, then I'm going to talk to her, and if not, then I'm not going to bother with her. Yonis and Ben-Shol, there's a story in Sefer Shmuel where at one point the Jewish people are fighting against the Plishtim. The Jews are very, very badly outnumbered. So Yonison one day says to his arms bearer, come, we're going to go up this cliffside, this hillside, to go and sneak up on the Plishti camp, and then let's see what happens. When they notice us, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, stay there, we're coming down to you, then we'll know, we'll take that as a sin, that we should stay where we are, and that we're not going to be successful. But if they tell us, come on up here, and we're going to show you a thing or two, then we'll take it as a simon, minashamayan, that we're going to come up, and we're going to be victorious. So now, sure enough, the Plishti guards said, come on up, and we're going to show you a thing or two. And Yonison says to his arms bearer, oh, that means Hashem is going to help us. And sure enough, they went and defeated that detachment, that unit of Plishtim, and then caused a whole panic among the Plishtim, and in the end, it developed into a wider battle, and Jewish people won it.
Now, so Rav is saying that only when the nichush is like that, is it considered nachash. If not, then ain't a nachash, then it's not in the isur of lois to nachashi. Well then, Rav is not literally relying on his nichush. He's not saying, and if the fairy doesn't come, then I'm not going to take it and I'm not going to have a good day. So what's the problem? It's not considered nichush. Now, there was an enormous amount of discussion about these two lines of Gemara, when we're saying like Eliezer of Avraham and Yonason ben Shol, the fact is the Torah tells us you're not allowed to do Nichush. So what does that mean? Did Eliezer and Yonason do Nichush? Eliezer, maybe you could say it was before Matan Torah, so maybe it's not also to him. But Tosfos says that, no, you have an opinion even that a Ben Noach is also not allowed to do Nichush. So Tosfos says, because then maybe you could say that wasn't complete nichush. We're not talking about whether he was going to talk to her or not, but rather like this. He had the psukim after she gave water to him and his camels, then he puts the jewelry on Rivka right away, assuming that she's the one who was destined for Yitzchak, and only then does he ask her which family is she from. In other words, he trusted so according to that, it would mean that he trusted so much in his siman that now he assumes she must be from Avraham's family, and therefore he could right away give her the jewelry. But Tosfos said, maybe not. Maybe in Muktam or Ochabat Torah, and in fact, he asked her first, what family is she from, and then good, she's from Avraham's family, and she's a Balas Chesed, then he could give her the jewelry. So in that case, it's not really considered, to be Nichush. What about Yonason? Tosfos says, okay, he's not really, he would have gone up either way. He's just telling it in order to encourage his arms bearer. So there's that. There's quite a bit of discussion about this. The Rambam Taka brings this halacha that any nachash that's not like Eliezer, that's not like Yonason and like Eliezer is not a valid nachash, implying, in other words, and the Rambam says that means, in other words, this kind of thing that they did is actually considered nichush. And then the Rambam writes that, but then the Raivad on there says very, very sharply, he says, what are you talking about? How can you accuse Eliezer and Yonason of doing such a thing? No, it just means, the Raivad says, it means that if you don't have, with their kind of thing was a good, strong, definitive thing that you could rely on. In other words, if you see that a girl like that is such a balas chesed, that she's willing to offer water to Eliezer and to his camels, then it means she must be from Avraham's family. And Yonason is saying, if the Plishtim are going to say, come on up here, in other words, like they themselves are a little bit nervous, and they don't want to come to us, then it means we're going to be successful. Absolutely, it's not nichush, says in the classical sense, says the Ivan, and the fact that Ivan says, you know what, if Yonason and Eliezer could see the Rambam, they said they would be very, very upset with him for accusing them of doing nichush. So the Kesef Mishnah and other Noisa Kalim and the Rambam talk about what would the Rambam answer to that? First of all, maybe the Rambam didn't have the Jews over here, Yonason ben Shol. Maybe he holds only Eliezer, and he holds Eliezer is in fact able to do Nichush. And again, you have what Tosfos is saying. Maybe he's only saying it in order to encourage his arms bearer, etc. And you have different other explanations among Rishonim and Achronim. How exactly the Ran gives an answer is when you're going to say that when it's not logical at all. For example, you have the Gemara tells us, let's say you're going to say, because a black cat crossed my path, or a deer crossed my path, or whatever, therefore it's going to be an unlucky day. So then one has nothing to do with the other. But over here, you're talking about where it has a logic to it. You're going on a trip and you're making for sale for yourself a simon. If it's going to be rainy, then I'll go. And if not, then I won't go. So that's a logical simon because that's minhogah shel olam. So the same thing over here. Eliezer knew who's going to be. The right shidduch for Yitzchak is a girl who has proper meisim, who acts as such a balas chesed. And the same way with Yonason, that if they tell us stay here in place and we're coming down to you, then it means they have self-confidence, and if not, then not. So you have a lot of different explanations. In any case, the point is, getting back to the Gemara over here, that Rav, when he said that it's a fairy, that the fairy is coming today, I'm going to have it, today is going to be a good day, that's not considered nichush, either because he's not completely relying on it, one way or the other, he's still taking that fairy, or because he's not explicitly, so another point that somebody's shown him point out is, unless he explicitly says, if it doesn't come, then I'm not going to do this, and he didn't say that. So that wouldn't necessarily be a problem. Eliezer also didn't explicitly say, and if she doesn't answer me, then I'm not going to, then I'm not going to, then and then, and if she doesn't answer me, then I'm not going to talk to her, etc. So here also with Rab, so and there's a logic to it. If you see the fairy coming, then you know it means that Hashem is speeding you away, etc. So then again, so why would Rab be concerned that he might have done nichush? So the answer is Elasuras HaRashus HaVoyim. The answer is the reason why. So again, we're back to the question, why was Rav not eating from this meat? Given that there doesn't seem to be any problem with it. There's not Bostashinus Alamana Ayin because he was watching it the whole time, even when everybody else left the house. It wasn't Nichush because we just said what Rav did was not considered Nichush. Well, then what's the problem? So the answer is Elasuras HaRashus HaVoyim. The answer is because this was an optional Suda. It was, in particular, in other words, it wasn't a Suda's mitzvah. In particular, Rashi explains it was a feast in honor that a daughter of a Talmid Chacham is marrying an Amah Oretz. The Rav, when his honey, Suda HaRashus, the Rav would never eat at such a meal. He would eat only from a Suda's mitzvah. So had it been a Suda's mitzvah, then Rav would have eaten. But now, apparently, Rekonon is making a wedding over there, and somebody, maybe he's making a wedding or a Sheva Brachas or whatever, and it's a daughter of a Talmid Chacham marrying an Amah Oretz, and therefore Rav came to participate, but he didn't want to eat from it. Because he wouldn't eat from such a Suda HaRashus. So now that we talked about that, we're saying that Rav went according to whether the ferry is coming and used that as like a simon for himself, as a personal simon, that he's going to have a good day. So now the Gemara digresses a little bit more to talk about what Rav and what different other Amoraim would do in this regard. So the Gemara says Rav bodik b'mabra. So Rav would do that kind of test with a ferry. If he sees that the ferry is coming right away, and then he would go. Shmuel bodik b'safra. Shmuel would look in the sefer that he was learning from and see whether he came across a posif or a maimon chazal or something that shows something favorable, and then he would use that to say to himself that it's going to be a favorable trip. Rabbi Yochanan bodik b'yanuka, and Rabbi Yochanan would test with a child. He would ask a child to say a posif for him, as we find, for example, Mordechai doing after Haman's Zera, and he would use that to decide whether it's a certain trip is going to go, is a good thing to go on. So now, again, here you have the question, how is that not Nichush? So here you have, again, the Rav gives an answer. They're not completely relying on it if they have. If there's another reason why, anyway, they don't want to go, then they would use this as like a secondary reason. And then the Binyan Sian says that what you're talking about, when is it also Nichosh? The person doesn't trust in Hashem at all, and it's only going to rely on the events that he sees. So that would be Dafei Amori, that would be also. But here, of course, the Tzaddikim, they rely on Hashem. They're asking for like a sign in Hashemayim that Hashem should show them an open sign that they should choose the right way. So now we're saying that each one of them had his own way of doing it. So as far as this point, here's an example where Rabbi Yochanan relied on a posuk from a child. So you have the following story. Kulu shnei de Rav have a posuk by Rabbi Yochanan. Throughout all the lifetime of Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, when he would write letters to him, he would always introduce it, l'kadom Rabbeinu shebabavel. He would write to our Rebbe in Bavel, because he considered Rav was his Rebbe. Later on, near the end of the Masechta, we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan himself reminisces about a time when he was one of the junior Talmidim in Rebbe's yeshiva, and Rav was one of the senior Talmidim. So he considered Rav to be his Rebbe, and therefore he would always introduce his letters to Rav by saying to our Rebbe in Bavel. Later on, Rav passed away, and Shmuel took over as the top Rosh Hashiva in Bavel. So Rav Yochanan would still send him letters, but have a cost of a kodim to Shmuel, but he would write to Shmuel, he would introduce it, l'kodam chavirenu shebavavel, to our colleague in Bavel. So Shmuel had also been a Talmud, had also been briefly a Talmud of Rebbe, but he was younger than Rav, and Rav Yochanan considered he wasn't as great in Torah, and therefore he didn't address him as my Rebbe, but rather as my colleague. Omar, so Shmuel says, don't I know of something where I can show that I am in fact Rav Yochanan's Rebbe? I want to have, let me find something in Torah where I can teach Rav Yochanan, and he'll realize that I deserve to be called his Rebbe as well. We're not talking about, he's not looking at it for his own kavod, but for the kavod of the Torah, especially for the kavod of the Jewish community in Bavel, that Rav Yochanan should realize that the leader of the community there now is also a Talmid Chacham of top caliber. So Kosev Shodalei Buddha the Shittin Shini. So Shmuel wrote out a calculation of how to decide which years are going to be leap years for the next 60 years, which this is, you know, nowadays we have a fixed calendar. It's very simple. But back then, when they had to determine it based on the time of the Tekufa and based on other considerations, then it was quite complicated. So for Shmuel to send all of that shows he really knew his stuff in that area. So Rabbi Yochanan receives a letter. Omar, he says, okay, big deal. Hashta Kushbona Ba'ama Yoda. Finally, he knows math. That doesn't still make him Rabbeinu Shebabavel.
Kosov, Shodolai, Tloisov, Gamli, Spake, Itchir, Kosov. So now instead, Shmuel wrote Rabbi Yochanan, 13 camel loads of different kinds of sotah tefes. Rashi says 13 is lav, Rashi's view says tefes actually, it was 12, but anyway, Rashi says lav dak, it doesn't literally mean 12 or 13 camel loads, that would be an enormous amount, it just means that he sent him a lot of different shaylos. Rashi brings that he heard from his Rebbeim, specifically, we had him in Perek Elu Trefus, in the third Perek of Amasefta, when we talk about the kosher and non-kosher species of birds, we mentioned that there were several species over there, where it's suffic, whether they were kosher or not, so now Shmuel is sending Rabbi Yochanan samples of all of those birds, as to say that I can tell you which ones of these are kosher and which ones are not kosher. Tosfos brings from a bit of Hananel, a different gusta, not gamli, but gvili, which means parchments. So 13, 12, or 13 parchments written, which were covered with shilas on and chuvas on Hilchos Tereis. Omar, so now Rabbi Yochanan says, wow, is the Rav of Bavel? I do in fact have a Rebbe in Bavel. Now I realize what a great Talmud Chacham Shmuel is. Ezel Echsi, I should really go and see him. I want to go and see him in person. Well, as usual, he wanted to know whether he should go or not. So So he says to a kid, tell me what pasuk you just learned today. And the kid tells him a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel or Shmuel Mace. That Shmuel passed away. Now in context, of course, it means the Navi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yochanan took that as a simon. Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, Shmamin or Noch Nafshi to Shmuel, this must mean it's a simon min Hashemayim that Shmuel has passed away, so there's no point in me going, I'm not going to be able to see him anyway. So the Gemara says, Veloyhi, now actually it was not so. Loy Shachib Shmuel, Shmuel did not pass away. Rav Shmuel Goyen tells us that Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years, so it didn't take all that long time for all of this back and forth. It means Shmuel was still very much alive. Ella, the reason why Rav Yechon was given that Simen Min HaShemayim, he hated the Litzvach of Yechonon, so Rav Yechonon doesn't have to go to the Tircha of traveling to Bavel. But in fact, Shmuel was very much alive. So the Gemara says to round out this discussion of simonim and nichush and what's allowed and what's not allowed. Tanya, we learned in a braise of Shimon Elazarimer, bagis, when a person built a house, tinoik, or he has a baby, ish v'isha, or when he got married. So now, if after that, he sees that he's being more successful in his business or whatever, afa pisha ein nachash, you can't do nichush and say that because of that, you should determine what your next course of action is going to be, because that would be nichush, yesh simon, but Shimon Allah says you can take it as a simon. You can say, for example, you can take it as a simon that now, if you see, for example, after you built this house, or after the baby was born, or after you got married, the first business deal that you did went exceptionally well, then you can assume for yourself you're going to be matzliach. If not, then maybe don't go out on business so often, because you don't know for sure if you're going to be matzliach. So don't say so explicitly. That would be nichosh. But you can take for yourself a simon that maybe I should go into a different line of business. Amar Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar says it's not just one time. It's only if it happens 3 times. The first 3 business deals after he built the house or had the baby, etc., he sees all of them are successful or all of them are unsuccessful, then he can take that as a simon min hashemayim. Diftiv, as we find by Yaakov. When Yehuda is telling, when the other Shvatim are telling him you have to send Binyamin with us to Yosef, because Yosef won't see us unless we bring Binyamin, and Yaakov says, Yosef einenu v'shimen einenu, Yosef is already gone, Shimon is gone, because Yosef was gone for many years over the year from when he'd been sold, Shimon is gone now because he's being held as a hostage in Mitzrayim, ves Binyamin tikochu, and Yaakov says, if you take Binyamin, then olai hoyu chulono, it's all going to be on me, in other words, then I can be sure, so then it's going to be 3 times, and there's already a chazaka, that things are going to be bad whenever one of my children leaves me. So therefore, so we see that Yaakov was taking that as a simon, but only after 3 times. So therefore, Shimon Allah says the same thing for good, only after 3 times can you say that it's a simon. But again, it's not nachash, because you're not specifically saying, and if it doesn't go good, I'm not going to continue. In this line of work, it just means the person is thinking to himself, and again, as the Ram says, there's a logical basis for it, and therefore such things are mutter. So we'll continue tomorrow. We'll get back tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, to this matter of Bosesh and Asalam and continue on that topic and eventually get back to topics of Gidon Asher.